For the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Was macht mich von Sünden rein, nur das Blut des Lammes Jesus. Wo mag für mich Heilung sein, nur im Blut des Lammes Jesus. O köstlich ist die Flut, macht allen Schaden gut. Hier meine Seele ruht, in dem Blut des Lammes Jesus. Was erlöst mich von der Schuld, nur das Blut des Lammes Jesus. Was schenkt mir des Vaters Huld, nur das Blut des Lammes Jesus. O köstlich ist die Flut, macht allen Schaden gut. Hier meine Seele ruht in dem Blut des Lammes Jesus. Was versehnet mich mit Gott, nur das Blut des Lammes Jesus. Was errettet aus der Not, nur das Blut des Lammes Jesus. O köstlich ist die Flut, macht allen Schaden gut. Hier meine Seele ruht in dem Blut des Lammes Jesus. Hier meine Seele ruht in dem Blut des Lammes Jesus.
I have been teaching on different doctrines of the Word of God, for in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it tells us that once we have established our salvation, we need to move on from there and start seeking out what the Lord has for us. Many Christians have a problem of not moving on in the power of the Holy Ghost or even in studying the Word of God to find out what God has for them. But the Bible clearly teaches us we need to go on, for the Lord has a work for us. He told us to go into all the world to preach the gospel. And there are specific ways on how to deal with these things, how to operate in the principles and the work of God. Last week we covered the subject on tithing. A person needs to understand and know how to tithe. For the Bible teaches us that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. If you are not sure of where to put your tithes and offerings, if you don't hear from God, then you may be discouraged in this work of God, which God has called us to go out and do. For it's our tithes and our offerings that are furthering the kingdom of God. So I want to advise everyone to seek the Lord on that very important subject and find out where God wants you to put your money. We need to go on from our salvation and start seeking out the will of God for our lives. And today I will teach on the subject of prayer. Prayer is very important, and we need to direct our prayers. We need to seek the Lord when we pray. There is a formulation in the Word of God on how to pray. Yes, everything's there. It's not just mumbling a few words before a meal or before bedtime. Prayer is one of the most important parts of our warfare. This is where we lay the groundwork. God hears our prayers, and He brings our prayers and our petitions into fruition once we start acting upon the prayers that we pray. And today I'll teach on this subject, but before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for the instruction that You have given us. You will anoint this message. You will bless the listeners and open their hearts, O God, to the importance of this message. Lord, as we see the day approaching, we know that darkness is coming in all around us. But Lord, You promised in Your word that You will raise a standard against that darkness. And Lord God, You will open our understanding to what You have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the commandments in the Word of God on prayer is for every believer to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That seems to be very important on God's list when His children pray to Him and seek His face. So all Christians are commanded to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because this is where our Lord and Savior will come back to this planet. He will come back to this planet in the exact location where He left. That is found very clearly written in the Gospels. So we, the children of God, need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Simon Peter tells us that we need to hasten the day of the Lord. And I firmly believe when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, then God will definitely one day, if we pray and are insistent, He will soon come back and make peace in Jerusalem. And this is what we're all looking and waiting for, the coming back of our Lord Jesus Christ to not only bring peace to Jerusalem, because this is where it'll start, but to bring peace to all the nations of the world. It tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That's for every person on this planet, and for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. There is a very interesting scripture here that paints a very big picture that we need to pray for kings and for those who are in authority, and we need to pray for all men. For God is not willing that any should perish. He is willing that they all come to the knowledge of the truth and to be saved. So what does a person do? Does that mean we need to pray for everyone? This is exactly what the Bible teaches. And it is possible to pray for everyone. But the question will be asked, how can I pray for somebody who I don't know? Well, if you know what it means to pray in the Holy Spirit, to pray in tongues, then you will understand how God can direct your prayers. But that is another subject here. So let us focus on what everyone understands. I personally believe that each and every one of us have been given certain directions on how to pray if we seek the Lord on this subject. We need to start in our own Jerusalem. Where do we come from? Which religious system do we come out of? Who are our people? This is where you need to direct your prayers, because God is not willing that anyone misses salvation. So he has laid upon your heart your loved ones. And this is what I believe we need to be focused on when we pray, so that we can see them come to the knowledge of the truth. Every person has loved ones, your immediate family. You need to focus on that when you pray. So the Lord has laid it out very clearly. He wants all people to be saved. And all persons upon this planet who are born again would cover the planet if they would pray for their loved ones. So we need to see and understand that. We need to pray for the ones that God has called us to pray for, with our understanding, of course. That is what we understand. These are the people we understand. These are the people we can identify with. So we know how they operate. We know how they think. So we know how to pray for them. If we are at all interested in them coming to see the Lord, then the question will be asked, well, I don't really feel or have a heart for certain people. That doesn't matter. Put your flesh aside and see the enemy who is controlling the people behind the scene. For the Bible teaches us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of darkness. This is how it works. The Lord has laid on the hearts of every one of us certain people that we need to pray for. Even though we may not be very spiritual, we still have this very interesting compassion for certain people. And if you start praying for them and they come to the Lord, they have certain people that they're compassionate about. The Lord wants us to pray for what we have authority over. And our loved ones and our own background is what God has given us authority over. They're the ones that we need to focus on with our prayers and with our tithes and offerings to when we want to further the kingdom of God. It all works together. It all ties together. God wants us to bring forth through prayer what he has commissioned us to do. For underground prayer, proof and bring forth above ground results. You don't have to tell anybody you're praying for him. You just pray for them in your privacy. Underground prayer, bring above ground results. And if you're going to be serious with it, you're going to see what I mean. I know an old grandmother who has set her life to prayer. She's not very strong physically, but her life has been a life of prayer. She's praying for her loved ones. She's praying for her community. And I remember telling her the time when Saddam Hussein got executed. And most of us who heard it on the news were applauding it. But when she heard about it, here is what she said to me. If only somebody would have told him about Jesus, maybe he would have turned to the Lord and repented, regardless what he did. See how prayer changes a person's heart. It doesn't matter what somebody does. The person who prays sees the enemy force behind the evil that takes place on this earth. In Ephesians chapter 6, there is an interesting description on how to pray, how to prepare yourself for prayer. And it gives us the reason for prayer. In verse 12, it tells us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." This is what Scripture is teaching us. We do not fight against flesh and blood. We do not fight people. We wrestle against rulers and principalities of darkness. In other words, we wrestle against demonic forces, against Satan and demons, and we can only fight them through prayer and taking authority over them. The question is, how do we take authority over them? There are many demons out there, and in my life, I have seen a lot of action when it comes to demon activity. We can see people who are being controlled by devils. We cannot understand why some would burst out in anger over nothing. That's driven by a demon force. Can a Christian be demon possessed? Many believers say no. But why are Christians into pornography? Why are Christians lying? Why are Christians stealing? Why are they cheating? That tells you one thing. There is a demonic force behind them. Because I in my heart believe that all Christians want to please the Lord their God with all their heart and all their soul. But for some reason, they do not have the power. And that reason is because they have allowed demonic activity to enter into their very beings, so that many are controlled by Satan and demons themselves. So I want you to check out yourself next time when you do something that is totally out of your character. You will have this incredible sensation of a desire that is not good for you. And for some reason it came over you. You can hardly control it. But with a supernatural force, you can overcome the temptation. What does that spell? That spells demonic activity in you, trying to bring you down and bring you into doing something that is not good for you. This is how demonic activity operates in a person. I have seen that, and I have experienced that myself. The only difference with me is I'm honest. I know what it's all about, and the Lord has opened my heart to understand what that evil force is. It's not my thoughts. It is a thought brought on by Satan himself. In most cases, I can control my actions, but there are times when I do slip and fall. And who brings that on? That is the enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers of darkness. So if a Christian would understand that and start to realize and see who is behind the awful things that they sometimes do, it would start to become easier to control and to come against those evil forces. And on the next segment of this program, I will teach you how to fight against those evil forces that are trying to bring destruction to you. So the Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you
wise. Gottes Gnade mir je bald offenbar, noch war. Bombe und seiner Hand kann mir nichts entreißen. Mein Erdteil wird mir wahren auf den Tag, da erscheint. Ich weiß nicht, wie die Glaubenskraft mein Gott mir mitgeteilt, doch wie der Glaube an sein Wort den Seelenschmerz geheilt. Ja, ich weiß an, wer den ich glaube, und seiner Hand kann mich nichts entreißen. Mein Erbteil wird mir wahren auf den Tag, da erscheint. Ich weiß nicht, wie der Heilige Geist mich in der Liebe zeigt, wie Jesu mehr in mir verklärt und alle Not verscheint. Doch ich weiß an, wer den ich glaube, und seiner Hand kann mir nichts entreißen. Mein Erbteil wird mir wahren auf den Tag, da erscheint.
In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul very clearly teaches us that we do not fight or wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of darkness. That very clearly teaches us that we are fighting against demonic forces. So regardless where you're at, in what situation, it is demonic forces that are trying to bring you down. And if you're going to be in the services of the Lord, you become a special target for Satan, and you need to walk in holiness so that you will be granted protection. For there is a penalty to be paid if you don't walk in holiness. We are left open to be attacked by Satan himself. And I'm not talking about our spirit man. Our spirit man, once it's born again, is out of reach of the devil. It cannot be touched. But what I'm talking about here is our soul and our body. That is a battleground which we need to be fighting for. Throughout our lives, it's our soulish realm that needs to be improved, that needs to be brought into subjection. And it will be under the attack of Satan and demons throughout our entire life. So it tells us we need to put on the whole armor of God. It says, tells us in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 6, "Wherefore take you on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and then having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So it doesn't only tell us to pray for ourselves, to put on that powerful armor of God. It also tells us to pray for other believers, to stand with them. So how do we stand? We need to have the truth. That is, we need to be born again. We need to understand what true salvation is. The breastplate of righteousness comes because we become righteous through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should always be ready to bring the gospel of peace to anybody who needs to know. And above all, it tells us we take the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Regardless what Satan brings against you, if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have faith that he cannot touch you, that you're secure in your salvation, then the fiery darts of Satan cannot do much damage. Take the helmet of salvation, know in your mind and in your heart that you are saved. The helmet of salvation is knowing in your head and your heart that you're truly born again. And then it goes on to tell us, praying always in the Spirit. What is praying in the Spirit? When you study 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14, it teaches us that praying in the Spirit is praying with tongues, because we in our understanding do not know from where the enemy will attack us next. It teaches us to pray in the Spirit so that we will always be praying according to God's will, so Satan cannot bring any surprises into our lives. This is how the devil works. He comes with surprise and deception. So if you're going to pray in the Spirit, then all of those surprises will be suppressed by the power of the Holy Ghost. How does one pray in the Spirit? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 very clearly teaches on that subject. And later on in these programs, we will get to that. But today we need to understand that to live holy before the Lord, to live a godly life, is what brings protection. If we do that, then Satan has no opening to come in against you. And once we realize that, and once we understand that, then living for the Lord becomes easier as you get older. Yes, in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul gives us the formula on how to pray and how to protect ourselves from the enemy. And if we will study that and walk in it, we will be a blessing to many. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.